Now I want you to bring that funky bass line back in one more time. One, two, three, now. Now I think it's about time that me and my man Omar Chandler get a little funky. One,
WHCR 90.3 FM, New York.
Obstacles in my way. Gone are the dark clouds that had me blind. It's gonna be a bright, sunshiny day. It's gonna be a bright, sunshiny day. I think I can make it now. The pain is gone. All of the bad feelings have disappeared. Here is that rainbow I've been praying for. It's gonna be a bright, sunshiny day.
Good morning. Welcome to Mental Health for Better Living. I'm your host, Dr. Leon Dickerson. Mental Health for Better Living is a show that explores the challenges in well-being and mental well-being. And as a collective group of concerned individuals, both lay and professional, we together address multiple mental health problems and then focus on solutions as they impact the individual and family life. You can listen to the show by logging into www.whcr.org. Just click on the Listen Live button and the blue arrow and watch us upstream. You can also get the station and the tune-up app on your smartphone. Just type in WHCR 90.3 FM. For those of you who are turning in to the show for the first time, let me tell you a little bit about myself. I was born and raised right here in Harlem. I'm a licensed psychotherapist and a substance abuse counselor. I graduated from Adelphi University and received my doctorate in clinical social work from NYU. I have a practice here, right here in the Village of Harlem, where I help people deal with various issues, including depression, anxiety, disorders, and stress. My office is located at 17 West 128th Street between Lenox and Fifth Avenue. Thanksgiving is right around the corner. And although it's time when families get together to give thanks for all blessings they have received, it can also be a stressful time. We are rushing to buy and prepare Thanksgiving dinner, and relatives that we have had strained relationships with are coming over for dinner. To give us some tips on how to deal with stress in the holidays is Dr. Elaine Ferguson. Dr. Ferguson graduated from Brown University and Duke University School of Medicine. She has practiced holistic medicine in the Chicago area for over 20 years. She is the author of several books, including Superhealing, Engaging Your Mind, Body, and Spirit to Create Optimal Health and Well-Being. She has also created a holistic, downloadable, educational audio workbook products designed to help those with diabetes and hypertension to improve their health. Dr. Ferguson, welcome to Mental Health for Better Living.
Hi, Dr. Dickerson. Thank you for having me. How are you today?
Okay this morning. Great. A little raining out there, a little bad weather, but I'm okay. I'm inside.
Good.
Why did you write Superhealing?
Well, Dr. Dickerson, I wrote it because the concept of the book came to me, and I felt that it was a good way to share with people some of the very important basic tools and understandings and information that will empower them to become healthier and to live the lives that we were intended to live.
And your definition of superhealing is?
Superhealing is our innate ability to engage and accelerate our body's powerful health and healing capacities through our active participation in their expression. And that means engaging your mind, your body, and your spirit to restore the balance that is necessary to open up the floodgates of healing that are not necessarily under our conscious control.
Wow, wonderful. For our listening audience, could you tell us a bit about holistic medicine and how it differs from other forms of medicine?
Absolutely. A holistic approach to medicine really is traditional medicine. what we know today is allopathic, drug-based surgery, et cetera, that is a very unique and relatively newcomer to the treating people. A holistic approach is one that recognizes we are a multidimensional being, that we have a body, we have a soul, and a spirit, and a mind. And all those components are interrelated, not separable, and are the foundation of our health and well-being.
Wow, that's beautiful. In your opinion, yeah, leading up to, especially leading up to this time of year, what is the most important issue that needs to be addressed to improve our health?
Ooh, that's a good one. That's a whole hour question. I really think it's taking charge of our health and well-being in a conscious, concerted effort, because what I see happening during the holidays is that we just get scattered, we get pulled in so many different directions, and we're not in charge of our of what's going on. We're just being led around by the events rather than taking charge and responding to the events. We react to them.
Right, right, right. You know, we're coming off of, you know, I think the holiday season starts right after Halloween. I think November 1st kicks in, including Halloween, because so much money is spent on that, on those holidays. However, I believe the season, the holiday season, kicks in November 1st right through on to January, you know, the New Year's. And so much goes on in our society. In terms of the Thanksgiving holidays, what steps would you say right off the top that we should consider, and just sort of just keeping it cool before the holidays, just keeping it sort of stable?
That's another good question. I think the most important thing is to set, is to have the desire and to set the intention that this is going to be a different holiday season. Or that's what I did a few years ago, and it made a world of difference. I took charge internally and said, I'm going to have a, and then I decided to have a schedule and to stick to it and not to wait till the last minute. I decided to also take care of myself during the process and to be ready to deal, as you said, with those difficult relatives that we know we can't avoid, and the financial aspect. Those are normally the major considerations: time, our relatives, the emotional side, money, and also our job and how the holidays affect our job.
Exactly. You know, as a psychotherapist, we're trained to, you know, get into childhood stuff. We sort of believe that, you know, our personalities are the sum total of all of our experiences. So around the holiday, I wonder how much of what's been going on all along surfaces.
I think you're absolutely right. I think it just gets aggravated by the additional pressure, the time-based pressure that we're all experiencing with getting it done. And also, I think this ideal that we have is very disruptive and unrealistic. We think everything's supposed to be perfect. You know, the food's supposed to be right. Everybody's supposed to be happy and loving. We have this ideal picture instead of just appreciating and living in the moment. And that interrupts our happiness as well and causes us additional stress.
I had a young man was just boo-hooing and carrying on in my office one holiday, and he was upset that he didn't have, you know, turkey money, money to buy food, you know, turkey. And that's something, I don't know why, I just asked him, I said, when was the last time you had turkey? Give me something, turkey sandwich, turkey soup, what? He said, I don't remember. I said, oh, maybe last year. So here this guy's crying over the turkey thing, and he doesn't even like turkey.
As I said, it's that ideal that we believe we have to have it a certain way and match that picture that's in the media, and it really makes us unhappy.
You know, one of the things that I grew up with, and I'm quite sure many of us has, is the silence. You know, that, what is it called, the pink elephant in the room or something, where we're just, you know, Uncle Jim comes over. We know what he's going to do when he gets drunk, but he keeps coming over, you know. And so we just don't say much at all. What would you say about those types of individuals that we call relatives, but yet the, each year, okay, you know, we're going to have to drag them out, or they're going to call the police to the door, you know, what would you say to that?
Well, that's the hardest part, because they are, as you said, relatives. And I think it's important to have a plan before the fact.
There you
know,
go.
This person's pattern, then have a pattern to have a plan to deal with that pattern before the pattern arrives in a healthy and appropriate manner. And maybe it might mean addressing it and talking to the person before the holiday occurs if they're very disruptive.
Exactly. But that would also mean breaking the ice and someone confronting, this person. Because many times, of course, I don't have too long a time to work with it because it's such a seasonal thing, that I deal with. But many times, people who aren't invited to the parties, I have that situation in my office where they're very reluctant to say that they just simply wasn't invited because they do act out.
Mm-hmm. Well, I think for me, and this has been what I recommend to my patients and my personal experience, we have to forgive people. That's so important. Let go of the past, and that allows us the opportunity to address these issues in a much healthier way.
I read something that you had said, and I totally believe that the mind and the body are partners, and they work together. If I'm hungry, if I'm starving, and someone brings a plate of food in, my body's going to react to that. I'm going to salivate. I'm going to get ready to eat. But let me ask you a question. When people, usually older people, say in very stressful situations, I know I used to hear from my mother a lot, this is making my blood pressure go up.
Mm-hmm.
Is there any truth to that?
She's absolutely 100% accurate. Yes, when we respond, as you know, to anything stressful, we have a physiological response. It's not just in our heads. It's not just emotional. Everything we think and feel has a biochemical partner. So when we are upset, we are releasing stress hormones that, in fact, cause our blood vessels to constrict, meaning to contract, and that elevates our blood pressure. Absolutely.
So in terms of the medicines that they prescribe for hypertension, from just listening to you and reading some of your work, it seems that if we could just take time to eat better and, to exercise, much of what we, are dealing with this, with these disorders would sort of, if not go away, would lessen, wouldn't it?
Oh, absolutely. We know in terms of the research, Dr. Dickerson, that stress, and which is a perceptual response, as you know, is a major contributor to every chronic disease we are dealing with in these United States. Hypertension, diabetes, asthma, cancer, heart disease, anxiety, depression are all stress-related, and those are disorders of perception. And by that I mean we always have a choice. We believe that we react, and I think I mentioned this earlier, that we react to situations rather than responding to them in a healthier way because we have the opportunity and the capacity to change our perception, which is the foundation of our dis-ease, if you will.
Right. It's how things are so interconnected. When we look at, let's say, our government, and especially around this time of the holidays, because remember last year this time, I think they closed down the government. They closed down business.
Around January.
And so many people were out of work, didn't get, earn a living for a few weeks. And I found myself, because you and I, we're in front of people all the time, and so we have to be careful how we feel about things and what's going on inside of us. But I felt a little down coming into this holiday season, not so much because the Democrats lost their seating in Congress, but just looking at the stress that's going on in our country today, how does that impact on us on a mass level?
Oh, certainly there's a individual stress and there's collective. So you're absolutely correct. I think, quite honestly, Dr. Dickerson, we haven't been right since 9/11.
There you go. Okay.
When I noticed a dramatic shift in the consciousness or the energy of this country.
Mm-hmm.
And we've been hyper-vigilant, if you will, and understandably, but we haven't recovered. So everything else is an added assault to that collective energy, I think. And you're right. It's people are much more sensitive to what's going on in the world. The least little thing we get upset about.
Exactly.
Let's not even talk about Ebola. Oh, my goodness.
Exactly.
That's caused, you know, it was a national hysteria. I'm sorry. That's what it was.
That's what it was. Everybody got, you know, got very upset.
About something that only affected 10 people.
Yes.
It was just amazing to me. So, unfortunately, and you're a part of it, and on the good side, I do believe certain aspects of the media have fueled this fire of depression, anxiety, discontent, because you know most news stories, if it leads, it bleeds.
Right, exactly.
Excuse me, if it bleeds, it leads, rather.
Exactly.
And that's and we just are constantly assaulted
exactly
with these negative stories that have just saturated, I think, the consciousness of Americans in general. But the good news is that we still have a choice, and we're very resilient.
Mm-hmm.
We have that capacity to move beyond these forecasts of doom, because they're always going to tell us that.
Right, exactly.
So I think you're absolutely correct in that sense.
Well, again, you know, it's. I grew up, I'm 67 years old, I grew up in the John Wayne area, you know, era. You know, we just won all the wars, all the war movies, you know, we came out victorious, and we were, you know, and I remember, you know, feeling a lot of things I can relate to in my life, but I remember feeling quite safe in America, you know?
But, you know, and I'm a boomer, too. I say I'm 6.1. That's 6.1 decades. It keeps me feeling younger. But you're absolutely right. But we have to know that our safety is something that's beyond the physical,
mm-hmm.
that our relationship with the Creator is truly our primary source of safety.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. You know, I think I want to give a little attention to the good things about relatives.
Mm-hmm.
What does having a relationship with a favorite aunt, for instance, you know, coming to dinner, you know, that person that really, really you love, how do we react, you know, physically to those people?
Well, in the same sense that we have a stressful response, we also have a healthy response. Called the relaxation response, and the foundation of that is all the positive emotions, and the primary positive emotion is love.
Mm.
So when I tell my patients that our emotions are either nutrients or toxins on a cellular level.
Mm-hmm.
We know this.
Mm-hmm.
So when we're feeling love, we are literally giving ourselves cells and organs a nutrient that makes it function optimally.
Right, right.
So it's not just a good feeling. It is really an optimal physiology that we are creating when we feel love.
Wow, that's beautiful.
Thank you.
That's beautiful. You're listening to Mental Health for Better Living on WHCR 90.3 FM. I'm your host, Dr. Leon Dickerson, and our guest today is Dr. Elaine Ferguson, a holistic practitioner and author of Super Healing, Engaging Your Mind and Body to Create Optimum Health and Well-Being. Dr. Ferguson, super healing, you know, is, I believe, something that you're very, very concerned with in terms of the rest of us.
Mm-hmm.
Could you talk a little more in terms of your own experiences and what led you up? Because I think you had mentioned that you yourself, and I think it's important, after so many years of being a therapist, I'm now paying attention to taking care of myself, mm-hmm. because we do burn out. And you had mentioned that you had medical issues that sort of, you know, motivated you to go in that direction. Could you tell us a bit about that?
Sure, Dr. Dickerson. I was very, quote-unquote, holistic-oriented, but at the time, and this is when I just went into practice, I thought holistic meant taking care of your body and doing all the right things for your body. So I was doing all the right things, taking my vitamins, exercising, eating right. And I had two heart conditions
mm-hmm.
that were stress-related. It was due to being in a very toxic relationship, quite honestly.
Mm-hmm.
And it wasn't until I saw the relationship when I was in a hospital. I was in my very early, I think I was in my late 20s, actually. And I said, oh, my goodness, this is making me sick.
Mm-hmm.
And
mm-hmm.
unless I correct this, I'm not going to be here much longer.
Mm-hmm.
I was just that unwell.
Mm-hmm.
And so that was the turning point for me to really begin to take care of myself you know, the bottom line is that I wasn't loving myself enough to be in a healthy relationship mm-hmm. and to say no to things that I knew that were toxic. But, you know, everything worked together for good. So that was my lesson, and that was the foundation of coming to understanding that I had to love myself, I had to take care of myself first and foremost. And you know that true self-care and self-love is not narcissism, but we get confused in our society and culture and think that when we're taking care of ourselves, we're doing something wrong because we're not taking care of someone else.
Oh, you better believe that. I grew up with that. I grew up with, if I had a nice new coat on or a nice hat, mm-hmm. somebody was going to say, oh, he think he's all that.
Yeah.
You know, they tend to make, we were made to feel bad about our good selves, self, you know. That we couldn't, you know, we really couldn't say, hey, you know something? I'm good at this. I like mm-hmm. me, you know. Mm-hmm. You were seen as, you know, like stuck up or something of that nature,
yeah.
you know. And I'm wondering how much of all that is like sort of built in, you know, to the oppressive reality that we suffer, not only from outside, but also from inside.
Absolutely. It's always our internal dialogue, as you well know, that is the governing factor of our lives, of our health and well-being, of our perceptions. So, yes, we have to overcome those and know in a healthy way we must take care of ourselves. It's like being on an airplane when the flight attendant says, if there's an emergency, secure the oxygen mask on yourself first and then put it on a child
exactly.
or someone who needs help.
Exactly. It's wonderful that you say that because I actually, when I sit on a plane and hear that,
mm-hmm.
you know, I actually apply that to my life now.
Yes, I do too.
Okay, you know, how can I help you or anybody else if I'm not okay?
If you're not, and I tell people it's okay to say no.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
We have to say no. We have to do what we feel is right, but we cannot be ruled by the disease to please others.
Exactly, and that's where we lose, you know, more than we came to the table with. We go away with less.
Yes. So I have a dialogue that I have with people. I say no, and they keep talking, and I say no again. I give them three no's, and
mm-hmm.
after the third no, I say, well, okay, what don't you understand about no?
Right.
Let me help you. Was it the N or the O?
Right. Or are you reading it backward, on or something?
Yes.
You know?
Yes.
Okay, so,
yeah.
You know, we came out of last October, and I said a couple of times that it should go on for the entire year, every day, the Domestic Violence Month. You know, I think we should take time in a busy society to, you know, to focus in on certain issues. But certain issues need to be focused in 12 months out of the year, 365 days. And that is when people fall in love and they realize that there's something else going on underneath that initial attraction. And that turns out to be so sickening, so toxic, you know, as a partner relationship that's not working. You know, and I think that much times, and listening to you this morning and reading some of your work, you know, we are so misdiagnosed, you know, when we go in to get checked out about certain physical ailments.
Yeah.
You know, the doctor would listen, you know, to us and he would hear us. But from where you're coming from, you would be taking into account relationships, families, you know, let me just say this. Correct me if I'm wrong. Let's say a person comes to Dr. Ferguson and they're saying, well, I'm having issues with chest pains, okay? And then you hear in your examination that they just got fired yesterday.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, you would take that in consideration, wouldn't you?
Oh, absolutely. I do a very thorough consultation with people. You can't have a relationship, a true relationship, with a patient with a 15-minute visit.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
Allopathic traditional medicine is just very symptom-oriented, and doctors began in medical school very altruistic, but our altruism is literally beaten out of us, and we don't have time to really spend with our patients and cultivate a relationship for the most part. And that
mm-hmm.
was really one of the primary reasons I became much more holistic, is that I realized the importance of the doctor-patient relationship in terms of listening,
mm-hmm.
because I've made a lot of diagnoses just by listening to people longer than most doctors have the time and opportunity to do.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
So, yes, you're absolutely right. I think 85 to 90% of all doctor visits are stress-related, according to OSHA, which is a part of the federal government, and other research that's been conducted in the United States, and it's not properly addressed.
Well, let me tell you, I believe your patients feel, because my doctor, I just got a brand new doctor, a new physician assigned to me about 2 years ago, and I absolutely love this guy. You know, I'm not one to write letters of complimenting, but I feel like just writing a letter to Montefiore Hospital. This doctor is Dr. Hopkins. When I sit in front of him, he looks you in the eye, you know, and he talks with you, and I know about his youngest daughter graduating last year, and you know, when I walk out of there, I told my wife many times, you know, I love this doctor, you know, and he's given me the right proper care, but most of all, aside from the advice he gives me, he listens to me.
Yeah.
So I'm gonna let you know that your patients may not be able to tell you, but they walk out of your office feeling so much better.
Yeah.
You know, because they don't have anybody else to talk to. I mean, who can we? You know, if I called my auntie, God bless her, and said, you know, I feel something in my chain. She said, oh, you ate too much yesterday, you know. Okay,
yeah.
You know, take some baking sodas. I think with baking soda we took all the time. You know, take some baking soda and you'll be okay, you know. But anyway, I really appreciate hearing that from you.
Well, you're right. A therapeutic relationship, a sense of connection with your physician is therapeutic in and of itself.
And I think that, you know, once we, you know, can, I think, feel more in charge by hearing our physicians, you know, educate us.
Mm-hmm.
And I think that sort of powers, and that sort of is like an investment to health, you know?
Absolutely. And that's really the reason why I wrote the book, Super Healing, is that we have a magnificent body. It is truly amazing. That was one of the blessings of medical school. I learned how phenomenal the human body is. Truly is in terms of how it functions.
Mm.
And when you do the right thing, it will magnificently perform
for you
and give you the health and well-being that is truly what it was designed to do, and it's really our birthright.
Mm-hmm.
We were not designed to get sick
mm-hmm.
or to be sick.
Right.
That is a disorder. That's why it's called dis-ease.
Right.
Our bodies were created to be at ease.
Right.
And
right.
when we are at ease, we function optimally.
Hmm.
It's just that simple.
Wow, that's wonderful. That's wonderful.
Thank you.
That's wonderful because so thus far, you know, we get a lot of medications, a lot of prescription pills and things like that. But there's so much more we can do ourselves along the way that would help us to be healthy. Now for a very sensitive question. Years ago, I wrote an article. I used to write articles for Upscale magazine, and they gave me an assignment to write on cholesterol and black eating, black folks eating, and mm-hmm. you know, African American cuisines, you know.
Mm-hmm.
And let me tell you, when I did my research, and I soul food, I love soul food, but I didn't find anything but water healthy in our diet. Okay, anything? I'm serious. I'm being very literal. There was nothing about soul food. I'm talking about good tasting soul food,
mm-hmm.
you know, that had anything safe in it. So Thanksgiving is all about eating. How can we prevent putting on extra weight after eating all that turkey, stuffing, potato salad, cakes, pies, ribs, you know, you name it?
Well, Dr. Dickens.
Okay.
As I said at the beginning of the hour, we have to have a plan. So if we know we're going to have a little extra on Thanksgiving Day, then we need to do something and to compensate before the fact.
Mm-hmm.
So what I do, I lower my caloric intake significantly Thanksgiving week,
mm-hmm.
and I exercise more. So I'll focus on soups and salads that week, or I mm-hmm. might even fast if I feel inclined to, because fasting is really good.
It sure is.
So mm-hmm. so that compensates. So I'm preparing, because I know
mm-hmm.
what I'm going to do.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
And it's okay if you do it a day or two. The problem with the holidays is that we just use it as an excuse to keep eating when we aren't necessarily hungry because we're enjoying and probably we're stressed.
Mm-hmm.
So the food is our I hate to say it in this way, but as you know, it's our drug of choice
in terms of
helping us to deal with our emotions.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. You know, when you mentioned exercise, I joined a gym about 3 years ago.
Mm-hmm.
And I just now begin to take advantage of it. I'm confessing now. You know?
Better late than never.
Yeah, you know, and I was walking around the gym. A young man was giving me like a tour of the gym, you know, and he said, how old are you? And I think at the time I was 65, you know, and he says, I wouldn't get on the machine. He said, I would not get on a machine right now if I were you. I would get cleared by my doctor. You know, he's being very nice about it, you know? And I think that week Isaac Hayes had died exercising, you know? You know, so I said, okay, you know, I'm going to take this advice from this youngster, you know? And I went and got I wanted a, what do you call it, a stress test, but my doctor said, well, that wasn't called for. So he gave me a basic examination. What exercises would you recommend? How would you even begin to tell our listening audience, particularly those who do not exercise regularly, to think about exercise?
What we know, Dr. Dickerson, is that any type of movement is healthy. So just walking is probably the best exercise we can do for people, we can engage with for people who don't want to do anything.
Mm-hmm.
And New Yorkers, I will say, are generally healthier than other Americans from the research because New Yorkers walk more often.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
So just walk a little bit more, longer, a little bit more instead of, you know, maybe you want to take another subway stop instead of the one you normally do. Take the one that's before. Just walk a little bit more. Walk around your apartment. Walk around your office.
Mm-hmm.
You need to move.
Okay. So you know, I worked with an orthopedic surgeon once, and in my office, I have to go down the stairs to let people in and walk up the stairs. So I asked him one day, you know, do I get any exercise, any kind of benefits from this, you know? He said, yes, you know, you do. You know, even just getting up, walking down the stairs all day long, you know, you do get exercise. But I was thinking more in terms of, but I'm not burning calories.
Yes, you are. Whenever you move, you're burning calories.
Okay.
You may not be burning a lot, but you're burning some. You may not be burning on the level of aerobic exercise, meaning when, you know, you really have your heart rate elevated.
Right.
But as long as you're moving, you're burning calories, absolutely.
Okay, right. Dr. Ferguson, we're going to take a 2-minute break, and we'll be right back, okay?
Okay.
Thank you so much.
Sure.
You're listening to Mental Health for Better Living, and we'll be back in 2 minutes.
I can see clearly now the rain is gone. I can see all obstacles in my way. Gone are the dark clouds that had me blind. It's gonna be a bright sunshiny day. Gonna be bright, sunshiny day. I think I can make it now. The pain is gone. All of the bad feelings have disappeared. Here is that rainbow I've been praying for. Gonna be bright, sunshiny day.
Good morning. Welcome back to Mental Health for Better Living. I'm your host, Dr. Leon Dickerson. Mental Health for Better Living is a show that explores the challenges to mental well-being, and as a collective group of concerned individuals, both lay and professional, Together, we address multiple mental health problems and then focus on solutions as they impact the individual, family, spiritual life, and our community. This morning, we have with us Dr. Ferguson, and we've been talking about mental health and holistic medicine. And I'm going to open back up, and I'm going to ask a question concerning meditation. What role does meditation play in all of this?
I love meditation. Meditation, Dr. Dickerson, is an ancient technique that our ancestors around the world have used to quiet the mind, and it does just that. But not only does it quiet the mind and is a doorway to our relationship with the divine, as has been used in a spiritual sense, in a religious sense, mm-hmm. it also dramatically alters our physiology in a good way.
Mm. Okay.
And one of the things, all the things that you mentioned about elevation of blood pressure and the stress response, meditation does the exact opposite. It relaxes the body. It lowers the blood pressure, lowers the heart rate, lowers muscle tension, decreases the release of stress hormones, increases and enhances brain function. It actually makes us younger.
Mm.
It improves brain. It's just an amazing gift. And just a few minutes a day of sitting in silence is so helpful and healthy for us.
Mm-hmm.
One of my main practices. And I will tell you, I'm busy. I don't do it. But I made a commitment to do it every day, no matter what. And it has so enhanced my health and well-being, especially my ability to deal with stress.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. About the spiritual part of us, we're mind, body, and spirit. And meditation, you just described it. But what about prayer, where we're connecting, like mm-hmm. part of meditating on God?
Mm-hmm.
Is there a place for that in healthcare?
Oh, absolutely. Absolutely. Prayer is so powerful. It is just an amazing thing that we have access to. And we know that it also changes our physiology, but not only that, when others are praying for us, mm-hmm. it has a measurable impact on our physiology.
Measurable?
Yes. One of the studies that changed the way I looked at prayer was conducted in the 1980s by a cardiologist, Dr. Randy Bird.
And yes. Mm-hmm.
You know it, yeah.
Yes,
and he was so open-minded, he took a group of people who were in an intensive cardiac unit, who had significant heart issues, and had half of them prayed for by strangers.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
And the other half, and they were tracked. They were monitored, and the doctors didn't know, the nurses didn't know, the patients didn't know. And the people who were prayed for by strangers, no one died in that group.
Mm-hmm.
They had fewer complications, and they went home faster.
I was very excited about that report
mm-hmm.
When I read that, mm-hmm. the outcome. And there were, I think, a couple of others that he was quoted, too, that definitely proved, without a doubt, that prayer, there is something to praying to God.
Absolutely.
Something to praying to God.
Yes.
You know, when you think of nature and how nature affects your health, I live in New York City, this mm-hmm. brick, concrete, asphalt, mm-hmm. you know, I mean, and I remember the first time I left the country to go on vacation, we went to the Bahamas, and I was sitting out back of this little resort that I was, and I got in touch mm-hmm. with nature. I got in touch with the sun
mm-hmm.
and those palm trees and just the grass, you know, and my whole body mm-hmm. sort of went through a beautiful change. I couldn't explain it, you know. You know, what was that? What was I, when it comes to nature, what was I feeling?
Well, we are part of nature. We as modern urban people forget that. But when you were feeling the relaxation response, I think you were feeling something even deeper than that. It said, we are really part of nature and we're connected with it, to it. So you were feeling your innate connection to nature. You were reactivating that
wow.
by being present in the moment.
Wow.
And we know when we appreciate beauty and we see, it's something about that expanse
mm-hmm.
that changes our physiology. It puts us in a state of awe and wonder. Mm-hmm. And it's a very powerful physiological response that we have to it that's also health promoting.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
And we know that even in cities such as New York and Chicago and the major urban areas, when people have green spaces, that changes their physiology as well. And we know that when people are hospitalized, if they have a view of nature from their hospital window, they get well faster.
Wow, you know, that is so important that you mentioned that. Mm-hmm. You know, years ago, because I think you and I can remember the importance and the role of the nurse.
Yes.
You know, and I remember being hospitalized when I was a kid, and I couldn't wait for her to come in the room and, mm-hmm. and to pull back the curtains and the sun, mm-hmm. and she would hold my hand. Oh, my God. I fell in love with my nurse.
Mm-hmm.
Unfortunately, you know, with managed care over the years, a lot of that has been taken away from them, where they have to, like, sort of document everything they do inside of a room, you know, with the client, you know?
Yeah.
And same thing with a medical doctor. My wife and I, we had our daughter, and we were being we were speaking with a doctor who was taking care of our daughter, and he was saying, I mean, this has to be 30 years ago. He says, I can't take this. I'm going back to Minnesota, you know, where I can actually talk to my patients.
Mm-hmm.
You know, it was so fast-paced, you know. And so I think all of that, it's almost like we started out okay with life itself, and then we just started to add things onto it so that when I go to the Bahamas, I feel this ecstasy, mm-hmm. you know, that I don't feel. As a matter of fact, if you ever go down, I mean, like to Wall Street, you know, where, you know, like there's nothing but like people bustling and ruffling back and forth.
Mm-hmm.
If you ever go down on Wall Street, let's say on a weekend, on a Sunday,
mm-hmm.
oh my goodness, you know, like there's nobody, you know. So we get in touch with missing people that we don't know,
mm-hmm.
you know, like going to the beach, you know, by yourself, if it's not your private beach, you know, we usually go to the beach to be with hundreds of thousands of people that we don't know, you know?
Mm-hmm.
So I think the nature and all of that does have a beautiful impact on us, on our health. What is the importance of supplements on our health?
Well, you mentioned food earlier, and unfortunately, our food supply is really not the best.
Mm.
Even in terms of health, what we would consider healthy foods, fruits and vegetables, we know that the nutrient value, the amount of vitamins and minerals that's present, has declined significantly over the last 50 years due to farming practices.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
So I think supplements, and I think I know, and this is a significant part of my practice in terms of nutrition, I recommend supplements because we don't know what we're getting.
Right.
So they put, and a lot of our diseases reflect mild and what we call suboptimal nutritional deficiency.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
We know that depression and anxiety are related to certain B vitamins and certain minerals that are key to brain function.
Right.
Even vitamin D, back to nature. We know that the lack of sunshine plays a significant role in our health and well-being,
mm-hmm.
despite what you've heard about skin cancer. There's something
right.
much more important.
Mm-hmm.
And vitamin D is a major vitamin most people don't know about.
Mm-hmm.
And one of the major reasons why African Americans have more chronic diseases is due to vitamin D deficiency.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
Most people don't know that in the early part of the 20th century, African Americans had a lower incidence of cancer compared to the majority population at the time.
Mm-hmm.
And it was in the 1950s that switched over. It was increasing. And I couldn't figure that out when I was in medical school. And the reason was the move to the north.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
We also know that there are certain disease patterns, not only for African Americans, but for the American population in general, related to where we live. There's more prostate cancer and multiple sclerosis the further north you go because it's related to vitamin D deficiency.
Right, right. You know, one of the difficulties I had of trying to prepare for the show was to sort of separate some of these questions to ask you. Like, for instance, I thought that it would be best that we talk about the holiday turkey thing first.
Sure.
And then we sort of settle in with talking about, you know, the idea of what food is. Could you talk a bit about plant-based diets versus eating processed food?
Absolutely. Well, processed food is really a misnomer. It's not really food. in the truest sense of the word, it doesn't have that life force in it. Mm-hmm. It has a lot of chemicals that are so harmful. So it's fake food at best. Mm. It really is. So plant-based, and you know, some people say vegetarian, but vegetables are the foundation of good health. They have so many nutrients in it, as well as fruit. So it's important. We even know, I found a study a couple of years ago that was conducted in England that found that if people eat 7 or 8 servings of fruits and vegetables a day, they have enhanced emotional well-being.
Mm.
Why? Because their brain is functioning better.
Right, right. You know, I wasn't in touch with how much processed food I was eating, or that maybe right now I'm still guilty of eating, until my wife, she told me that she, when she started eating right and began, to really concentrate on eating, right, how expensive it was.
Yes, it unfortunately is, but we're worth it.
Mm-hmm.
I can't eat processed foods because I have become exquisitely sensitive to MSG over the years.
Mm-hmm.
And I didn't know it, but MSG is in every processed food, just about, canned foods as well. And it's a flavor enhancer. MSG is monosodium glutamate. It has many other names that it's on the labels, but it is a nerve toxin. It
mm-hmm.
kills nerve cells by overexciting them.
Mm-hmm.
So
mm-hmm.
I have some nerve damage
mm-hmm.
that I experience, and it's really bad when I'm exposed to MSG. So I don't eat out much anymore, and I like to, but in terms of most restaurant food has MSG in it, and I'm just not willing to sacrifice my health anymore for it.
Mm-hmm. You know, I had a wonderful, wonderful time this morning talking to you about, holistic medicine. I'm also a substance abuse counselor for 40 years.
Mm-hmm.
And I wonder, what would you say if I asked you on a wide range, looking at it from a wider range, what does getting intoxicated, getting high, what does drugs do with this? Does it make us feel that we're getting all these good things we're talking about? Or is it just artificial type of living? What is drugs? What are they in your mind?
Do you mean medications or drug abuse?
Drug abuse. I'm sorry. That's what I'm talking
about. That's okay.
Substance abuse.
I think my personal opinion, Dr. Dickerson, of substance abuse and alcoholism is that these are replacements for our true spiritual ecstasy and wholeness, and as well as an attempt to just anesthetize our pain.
Right.
That
right.
we are not dealing with. We have this fear of pain and emotions, and suffering's one thing, pain is another.
Mm-hmm.
And we're really trying to get around our suffering because we think we're incapable of processing it appropriately, when in fact we are.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. And so when we sort of become dependent on drugs, and alcohol, we actually are dependent not only on the physical, actual drug, but also we become dependent on how it makes us feel.
That's what it is, I think, more than anything else. Yes, we do. There is a physical, a cellular dependency, but I think the emotional is far more critical.
Mm-hmm.
Because when we have the will, which is what the recovery process is, it is really engaging our will to overcome and to heal.
Mm-hmm.
When we really make up our minds and set the intention, nothing can stop us from doing that. It's just that we don't do it. And that's what prevents, I believe, by and large, our recovery.
Mm-hmm.
We don't
mm-hmm.
think we're capable.
Right, right, right. One last question. In terms of forgiveness, you mentioned that earlier, and I think that I sort of like joke about it in terms of, that relative coming over that we know, like Bobo is going to come over and he's going to mess up stuff, but forgiveness, I think that, what could our audiences hear right now to really, really keep in the front of their minds about next week with people going to come over and who may have hurt them badly in the past?
Forgiveness is critical to our emotional health and well-being because that also changes our physiology. I heard someone say on TV yesterday, we're like emotional Sherpas. We're carrying around so much, emotional baggage. And when we forgive, it sets us free from the past.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
And it changes our physiology, and it gives us the ability to see things differently. Mm-hmm. And one of the and we have to forgive ourselves, too. That's the most critical factor.
Mm-hmm.
For either what we did or what we didn't do.
Mm-hmm.
And then we can forgive others. And
mm-hmm.
once we have that forgiveness, then we're capable of loving ourselves and loving others in a different way, because really the dysfunction and abnormal behavior is a person trying to get love in all the wrong ways,
mm-hmm.
you know?
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
And I found myself, when people are acting ugly, I just say to them, thank you so much, I love you. And that disrupts, that stops the bad behavior better
right
than anything else.
Right there.
I love you.
You know, we have to carry mm-hmm. this stuff, you know,
mm-hmm.
and it takes up space. It takes up psychic space.
Mm-hmm.
It affects us physically, you know. I think the saddest thing that I've seen in my life, I've witnessed it, was the love-hate relationship that sometimes we have with our parents.
Yes.
You know, where I'm talking about really intense love-hate relationships.
Yeah.
I hope you die and all that
yeah.
stuff. And then when mom dies, those are the people that we have to carry out of the funeral home.
Yes, exactly.
Oh, my God. You
Absolutely.
Know, they're falling all over the casket. I mean, you know, oh, my God. And what it seems to me, and I observed this, I was a child, and I observed it, it seems like we took time to hate each other, but we really loved each other.
Yes.
Okay, so now at the funeral, the person that we had this love-hate relationship, okay, yes, the person that we hate is dead, but guess what? The person that we love is also dead.
Absolutely.
And we didn't get a chance to express that.
Absolutely. It's the unresolved issues that are the most painful. You're absolutely correct.
You know? Dr. Ferguson, could you tell our listeners how they can get a copy of your book and the downloadable products for those with diabetes and hypertension?
Absolutely, and the products are for people with any kind of chronic disease.
Okay.
They can go to my website. It's www.dr.elaine.com. And there's information for they can click on the products link. And I also have a free holistic health newsletter every week.
Wonderful.
And a free downloadable meditation. So I hope they'll take advantage of those.
Oh, no, I will.
Oh, thank you. And I also have a telephone consulting service as well.
Can you give us that number?
Yeah, well, they can call 219-405-0920. That's 219-405-0920.
Wonderful, wonderful. Dr. Ferguson, I just started the show a couple of months ago, and I've had people on like yourself, and we're building like a list of people that have been on the show. And once I get really good at this, you know, I want to have people back, okay, so that we can maybe join and, you know, do other things together. So I want to thank you so much this morning for being with us, and I hope to have you on the show again.
I'd love to come. You're doing a great job. I thought you were a pro. You've been around. So keep up the good work.
Thank you.
So important.
Happy Thanksgiving.
Thank you. Same to you.
Okay, bye-bye.
Bye-bye.
Thank you so much. That was Dr. Elaine Ferguson with us this morning. And, of course, we were talking about a lot of different things concerning holistic medicine. And I really, really enjoyed her, and I know you have also. So I'm going to close on another note, and that is that this is the holiday season. And, you know, we have to be very, as you heard on the show, very sensitive to what we're going through. And I think that, you know, once we understand, you know, that Christmas is a spiritual religious holiday. You have Hanukkah and you have, you know, all the different holidays, the spiritual holidays that are coming up, you know, in the next few weeks. And we need to look at them as that. We need to look at religious holidays. It's basically religious holidays, you know, Christmas and all of the different other holidays that we're going to celebrate. It's sort of like gotten out of hand in a sense when you look at, you know, the kinds of things we do. You know, just giving you some statistics in terms of money. just on Halloween alone, $7.4 billion were spent on Halloween alone. That's $2 billion for candy and the $350 million for pets, you know, and costumes and things of that nature. And, of course, when I saw this number, it just floored me, that we're going to spend $600 billion on Christmas. Okay, so that tells you the magnitude, okay, you know, of these holidays and how they can make us feel if we don't have, you know, money and if we don't have, you know, the resources to have fun. In other words, we have to pay to have fun. Somebody is a billionaire this year, okay, certainly not me, but we have to pay to have fun. We got to question that. And I think Dr. Ferguson really left us with a beautiful point, and that is about forgiveness. Okay, so that is an opportunity we have for this holiday season to forgive that person that may have hurt us. And in order to do that, I think I heard her say we also must forgive ourselves. So much guilt, we carry so much guilt around with us that sometimes it can be transformed into other emotions that we don't really need. So I want to thank everybody this morning for being on the show, because I know that if Dr. Ferguson said anything, she really helped us a lot about our physical and our mental, spiritual well-being. God bless. See you next week.
You're listening to WHCR 90.3 FM, The Voice of Harlem.
I can see clearly now, the rain is gone. I can see all obstacles in my way. Gone are the dark clouds that had me blind. It's gonna be a bright, sunshiny day. Gonna be bright, sunshiny day. I think I can make it now. The pain is gone. All of the bad feelings have disappeared. Here is that rainbow I've been praying for. Gonna be bright, sunshiny day.
Football for the Philadelphia Eagles, but what I do off the field with United Way might be more important. I'm a volunteer tutor and mentor. Why? Because over a million kids a year drop out of school, and that's not okay. It takes 12 years to create a graduate, but it takes about the same time to create a dropout. And the difference between a child becoming one or the other could be me, or it could be you. Studies show that if we get to these kids earlier, their chances are better. And kids who read well by third grade are more likely to graduate. So join me in United Way. Suit up and take the pledge. Become a volunteer reader, tutor, or mentor. Because when a child succeeds, we all succeed. Give. Advocate. Volunteer. Live United. Take the pledge at unitedway.org. Brought to you by United Way, the Ad Council, and the National Football League.
Hello, and welcome to today's lottery drawing. Good luck. And here's today's winning numbers. First one up, it's not yours. Second one,